All right, Rabbi, say good morning. Let's begin. So today's daf is Yud Dalid. We're going to pick up at the bottom of Yud Gimel. There's a lot of interesting Gemara to do today. Our shir this morning is sponsored by Noah Fine in honor of Eliana's bat mitzvah and Miriam's birthday. We thank Noah very much for his sponsorship. Thank you. And we wish the fine to say some shalom later, Mir Tzashem. Okay, so we left off Yud Gimel Amud Beis, three lines up from the bottom. Supposed to remember we had a brisa that we have a Gemara that is trying to figure out that when an individual is fasting, where does the individual insert Anenu? Is Anenu between the brachos of Goel and Rofe, or is Anenu inserted as part of Shema Kolenu? Essentially, the fundamental question is, when an individual is fasting, does an individual generate an obligation for a separate self-standing bracha, or does an individual only recite the bracha within Shema Kolenu? That's the fundamental question the Gemara is dealing with. So the Gemara wanted to suggest that perhaps again, that in the first set of fasts and the second set of fasts, there is a regular Chazaras HaShatz, and the Chazaras HaShatz of 24 brachos is not recited. So three lines are from the bottom. The Gemara says, "Velo, is that true?" Vatanya, we learned, "Ein bein gimel shnios l'shev achronos." There is no distinction between the middle three fasts. So remember, just the model of fasting we have is you have a set of three fasts, then if it still doesn't rain, a second set of three fasts, and if it still doesn't rain, a third set of more intense seven fasts. So the Gemara says, we learned in a braisa, there's no distinction between the second set of three to the last set of seven. Elo shebe ilu masuin v'nol in asachanuyos, except that in the last set of seven, we go ahead, masuin literally means we blow the shofar, although we'll examine that later on, and we close up the stores. Haluchol divrayen zev zeh shavim, but regarding everything else, they are equal, or they are the same, which indicates that lemaisa, again, we are reciting 24 brachos, even in the second set of fasts. V'chitei mahal chanami tanavashir. So maybe you'll say, no, it's not true. Maybe there is a distinction, but again, the Braisa chose not to discuss or not to state all of the distinctions. V'ha ein bein katoni, but yet again, the Braisa itself says there is no distinction. V'tizbira ein bein dafka. You're telling me that every time it says there is no distinction, that literally means there's no distinction. Top of Yudalad. V'ha shir teva. But yet there is a clear distinction, and that's what? In that in the last set of seven fasts, something is done that is not done in the previous fast, which is that we move the Aron Kodesh out to the street, and we daven out in the street. And yet again, that's not explicitly stated in the Braisa, to which the Gemara says, Imishum teva lav shiuruhu. The truth is, the Gemara says, if that's what you're bringing up, that's not really something that was left out. Why? Mili ditsina katani, mili difarhesya lo katani. Because the Gemara simply says, the Braisa was only discussing things that were done, quote-unquote, privately. Things that were done in public, like the moving of the Aron into the street, the Braisa does not discuss. Amar Ravashi, masnisa nami deka. Ravashi says, the truth is, the Mishnah even supports this idea as well. Diktani, because we learned. Diktani, ma elu yiseros al rishonos. How are these fast days even more intense than the previous ones? Ela shebe elu masriyan v'nolin asachanuyos. In these, referring really to the last seven, we go ahead and we blow the shofar. Nolin asachanuyos means we close up the stores. Aval b'chol divrehen zeh v'zeh shavin. But regarding everything else, this last set of seven fast days is the same as the previous. V'chi teima hachanami tana v'shir. Maybe you'll see over here that again, the Braisa did not include everything. V'ha ma'ilu katani. But yet again, it says in the Braisa explicitly that regarding everything else, they are the same. V'tizbira ma'ilu dafkohu. V'ha shir la teva. But the Gemara says, but that can't be true. Because again, we see, for example, that there are distinctions that are not explicitly stated by the Braisa. For example, again, just restating what we said before, the moving of the Aron out into the street, which is done in the last set of fast days, but is not done in the previous ones. Imishum teva, if you're going to be talking about the moving of the Aron, lav shiurahu, that's not called something missing from the Braisa. Imishum deka chashiv lebi idach pirka, because at the end of the day, the discussion about moving the Aron into the street is actually a discussion that we have in next week's parak, to which the Gemara says, hashta da asas lahachi, now that you've given this answer, arbo im esrim va arbo nami lav shiurahu, So I'll say, now that you're telling me that again, that we don't have to include things in this price that are going to be mentioned in the next parak, so I could speak about again also the 24 brachos, that it could be the reason that the 24 brachos are not mentioned here is simply because they will be discussed more prominently in the next parak. Fine. So the Gemara says, my havyala. Bottom line, what do we do? We began with a very simple question, and it became a more complicated discussion. The simple question was, at the end of the day, if an individual is fasting, what does he do about Anenu? Does he insert it between the bracha of Goel and Rofe, or does he insert it in Shema Kolenu? So at the end of the day, this is the discussion. This is the question under discussion. We got a little bit sidetracked. We're trying to figure out the distinctions between the various fasts. But Lamaisa, now we're looping back. Halacha Lamaisa, what do we do in this circumstance? So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Shmuel bar Sas Ritoi, V'chin Amar Rav Chia bar Ashi, Amar Rav, Bein Goa L'Rofe. So I'll say the first opinion says that the Yochid, the individual, inserts Anenu just like the Tzibor inserts Anenu between Goel and Rofe. Rav Ashi says, Mishmei D'Rab Yane B'Rid Rabbi Yishmol, On the other hand, Rav Ashi says, no, we put it in Shema Kolenu. And I will say, what is the halacha? B'shomei atfila. So both of the way the Gemara ends off is that the Gemara seems to indicate that lemaisa, whenever an individual is fasting, the individual always inserts Anenu within Shema Kolenu. Okay, so the Gemara goes weiter. Tani Chada. I will say, now the Gemara is going to record three different rulings. So in one brisa we learned, ubros umenikos misanos. So in one brisa we learned that ubros are women, pregnant women, menikos are nursing women, misanos fast, berishonos, they fast in the first set of fasts, ve'im misanos ba'achronos, but they do not fast in the latter fasts. Okay, v'tanya idach. You know another brisa that says misanos ba'achronos ve'im misanos berishonos. Both another brisa that says what? They fast in the latter fasts, but they do not fast in the earlier fasts. Okay, v'tanya idach. And then we have a third brisa, ein misanos lo berishonos ve'lo ba'achronos. And we both say a third brisa says what? They do not fast in the earlier fasts, nor do they fast in the latter fasts. So again, one brice is saying they fast in the earlier, don't fast in the latter. Second brice, they fast in the latter, don't fast in the earlier. Third brice said, don't fast in the earlier or the latter. So we'll say, what's going on over here? Amar Rav Ashi, nakut and sa'isa biyadecha, dimitartzen kulu. Rav Ashi says, the second brice, is the authoritative one. Why? Because it's able to reconcile with all of the others. Remember, so what was the second brice? The second brisa was that misanos ba'achronos ve'in misanos barishonos. They fast in the latter fast, but do not fast in the earlier fast. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says, "Nakot mitzi'isa biyadecha, kilomar tarit debishalosh emtsoios hayu misanin, umetartzos kulhu hanach masnisa." So we'll say, listen to this. So Rashi wants to suggest the following. Rashi says that second brisa that says that they fast in the latter fast and not in the earlier fast is the authoritative one, and it's ultimately able to reconcile with the other two. How so? So the way Rav Ashi is understanding that statement of they fast in the latter fast, what do the latter fasts refer to? It refers to the middle three fasts. Remember, again, we have a total of 13 fasts. So first three, if it still doesn't rain, second three, and if it still doesn't rain, last seven. Rav Ashi is suggesting that when the Braisa says they fast in the latter fast, but not in the earlier fast, the latter fast actually refers to the second set of three. They fast in the second set of three. And Rav Ashi says like this. Therefore, again, that reconciles with all the brisos. How so? Hadiktani barishonos v'lo b'achronos. The first brisa that says that they fast in the first set of fasts, and they are staying in the earlier fast and on the latter fast. Hanach rishonos lav rishonos mamish. When it says they fast in the earlier fast, it doesn't literally mean the earlier ones. Ella emtsaios de inhu havu rishonos la'achronos. Rather, when it says they fast in the earlier fast, it means they fast in this earlier fast that precede the last set of fasts, i.e., the middle three. the middle three. The inhu havu rishonos achronos, aval b'sheva achronos lo misanu. But the pregnant and nursing women do not fast the last seven fasts. Dechevan deshevan inhu, because since there are seven fasts, lo motzi ubros umenikos lemei kambuhu. It would not be healthy for pregnant or nursing women to fast. V'hadik tani ba'achronos v'lo b'rishonos. And when the Braisa said they fast in the latter fast and not in the earlier fast, Hana achronos emtsoyos ninhu, varishonos rishonos mamish. Latter fast means the ones that come after the first set, which means the second set of three. The aim is anin bohen to lo takif rugza kolihai. And we don't want women to fast in the first set of fasts. Why? Because again, the situation is not as dire yet. Because again, it's only rain is only we're only a little bit behind the eight ball with the rain. Therefore, again, because it's not so dire, we don't want the women fasting, the pregnant women fasting, pregnant nursing women fasting. So we'll say what comes out from this Rashi, according to Ravashi, is the following idea. Essentially, what all the brisos are really in agreement, and what they're saying is that lemaisa we have pregnant and nursing women fast only the second set of three. What's the logic behind that? For the first set of three, we're not going to have them fast because the situation is not dire enough to actually call upon the pregnant and nursing women to fast. The last set of seven, ultimately, again, that's too much for the pregnant and nursing women, which ultimately leaves us with the second set of three fasts. That should, chas v'shalom, the need arise for the community to fast, we will ask pregnant and nursing women to fast as part of the community for those fasts as well. So the Gemara goes weiter. Ma'ilu yisiros al rishonos, ala sheba'ilu masrim v'nolin asachanios. So also remember again, the Mishnah said that when it comes to the last set of seven fasts, so the last set of seven, are more intense than the previous ones in two ways. Number one, the Mishnah said that we masriyin. Now masriyin, we don't know exactly what that means yet. Yeah, let's assume for a moment it means blowing the shofar. Masriyin and v'nolin asachanus. We close the stores. We close the civilly food stores. They're talking about. We close the stores. So the Gemara says, "But my masriyin, what are we masriyin with? Right? What exactly? What are we sounding?" So the Gemara says, "Rav Yehuda says, b'shofros, it means that we blow the shofar." For Rav Yehuda, b'reid Rav Shmuel bar Shilas mishmei derav amar ba'anenu. He says, "No, masriyin actually refers to the fact that what we cry out with anenu." We're not blowing, not necessarily blowing the shofar. We're crying out with anenu. Kasal kadaitcha man damar ba'anenu lo amar b'shofros. So we assumed at first glance that the one who holds that masriyin means we call out with anenu, he means anenu, and we don't blow the shofar. Uman damar b'shofros, and the one who says that we blow the shofar, lo amar ba'anenu, would not say that there's an obligation to recite anenu. Ay v'hatanya, but we learned, ein pochasin misheva ta'anios ala tzibor, shebahen yudches hasros. Ay, but we learned that we do not have less than seven fasts. It's not the last set of fasts. Less than seven fasts for the lack of rain. And during those times, we have 18 hasros, v'simla davar. And if you want to remember Yericho, if you want to remember what to do, remember Yericho. They will say, what happened with Yericho? Jews entered Yericho. They circled the city. And what happens? They blew the shofar. And the walls of Yericho came down. So therefore, what do you see from here? The Yericho shofros hava. And you see, we remember again that Yericho, the way that Yericho, the walls came down was through the shofar. So you see over here that what? That when the Braisa says hasros, Asraos refers to the blowing of the shofar. V'tiyufta l'manda amr anenu. And therefore, again, this refutes the idea, or this refutes the opinion of the one who says that masriyin means anenu. Ella b'shofros t'kuli amalu pligi t'kari lehasra. Rather, again, I will say everyone agrees that the blowing of the shofar is called hasra. Avashon of trua. Ki pligi ba'anenu. Where do they argue when it comes to anenu? Mar savar kari lehasra. One opinion says that that's also called a hasra. That's also called trua. Umar savar lo kari lehasra. And the other opinion says, no, that's not called hasra. Leman da amr ba'anenu. Kol shekin b'shofros. So the Rebbe said, the one who says that we recite anenu also agrees that we blow the shofar. Uleman da amr b'shofros. But the one who says that we blow the shofar on the public fast days. Ava ba'anenu lo. Would, however, doesn't necessarily agree that you have to recite anenu. Ay, v'hatanya, but we learned in a braisa, u'sha'ar komine paranios hamisrakshos, both say, with all other types of misfortune that come upon the world. Kigon, for example, chichuch, We'll say chichoch literally means scratching. So this must be some kind of outbreak of some type of skin disease that is causing people to constantly scratch. Or chagav, an outbreak of locusts, zvuv, flies, tsira, wasps, yitushim, mosquitoes, shiluach, nechoshim, outbreak of snakes, vakravim, scorpions. Lo, so any of these things that happen to society, lo hayu masriyin, they would not be, again, I'm just using the word masriyin, elat soakin, rather they would call out, they would cry out in prayer, miditsaka bepeh, the fact that tzaka, crying out, is done by mouth, hasra b'shofros, it must be that what? That hasra masriyin refers to the blowing of the shofar, to which the Gemara says tanoi. In reality, it's a machlokis tanoim. Tisanyo, al ilu masriyin b'shabbos. Rabbi will say, these are things that were masriyin. Again, I'm purposely not defining this word as blowing the shofar, because that's part of the machlokis in the Gemara. These things were masriyin on Shabbos. What are we masriyin? What do we call out for on Shabbos? Al ir shikifu agayis, about a city that was surrounded by enemies. O nahar, or a river that is about to overflow its banks. Va'al svina hamituref es bayam, or a ship that is in distress in the sea. Rabbi Yossi says, le Ezra, when it means that we call out, it means that we call out for help. But we don't cry out in supplicatory prayer on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, Bimai. Now, what does this mean? What are we calling out with? Ilema b'shofros, if you want to say again that when it says masriyin, we're calling out with the shofar, that can't be why. Shofros b'shabbos mishari. Is it permitted to sound the shofar on Shabbos? Elalav ba'anenu. Rather, it must be anenu. The karile hasra, and yet it is called hasra, calling out. Shmamina, indeed, learned from this. So we'll say, what comes out, lemaisa, is the following. What comes out is when the Mishnah says that on these last 7 days, masriyin, so masriyin has a twofold meaning. Everyone is agreeing that it automatically means what? Blowing of the shofar. But to take it a step further, what they also understand that word masriyin, calling out, refers to is the recitation of Anenu. Okay, so Bishani Rabbi Yehuda Nisiyah Havatzara. I will say in the years of Rabbi Yehuda Nisiyah, there was a distress. There was some type of public issue. Public tsar. Gozar. Tlas Esrei Tanios. He declared 13 fasts. We'll say the Gemara doesn't tell us exactly what it is that happened, but there was some type of communal misfortune that was going on. So Rabbi Yehuda Nisiyah decreed 13 fast days to go ahead and address this misfortune. If you look at Rashi, so Rashi says, Gazar Tlas Esrei Tanios, Kedarmina b'masnisin, Shalosh Rishonos, V'Shalosh Amtsayos, V'Sheva Achronos, V'Lashar Peronios, Avid Lehu, V'Lo L'Gisham. So we'll say the issue Rashi points out over here is that this was actually not for a lack of rainfall. This is not for a lack of rainfall. Something else was happening. But interestingly enough, the fasting model for rainfall essentially becomes the paradigm for how to deal with other communal misfortunes. So by rainfall, we have this 13 fast model. Rabbi Yehuda Nisiyah borrowed this model and applied it for this other misfortune. What happened? Below Iani. So we'll say, even after the 13 fasts, so the situation did not change. It literally means they were not answered. Meaning the Ribbono Shel Olam did not go ahead and alleviate the difficulties and misfortunes of the community. Savar LeMigzar Tvei. Rabbi Yehuda Nisiyah was ready to go ahead and declare more fast days. Amrali Rabbi Ami. Rabbi Ami said, Hari Amru, Ein matrichin asatzi bar yoser midai. So Rabbi Ami said to Rabbi Yehuda Nisiyah, listen, you know, we have a principle that you cannot go ahead and inconvenience the tzibur too much. You can't do that. You know, 13 fast days is a lot of fast days. You can't do it to the tzibur. You can't do it to the tzibur, to which the Gemara says, Amr Rabbi Abba, Breid Rabbi Chia bar Abba. So Rabbi Abba, the son of Rabbi Chia bar Abba said, Rabbi Ami da'avid legarmei. Well, this is very interesting. See, he said, by the way, Rabbi Ami, he was just saying that for himself. He was just saying to Rabbi Yehuda Nesia because he could not fast anymore. So he said, oh, you can't inconvenience the tzibur. But at the end of the day, what he was saying, listen, I've had enough of this stuff. Rashi says over here, Ligarmei la'atzmo, shalo amar el lefi shehu lo haya rotze lehis anos. That ultimately, again, he said it. Why? He said it because he could no longer fast anymore as a result of this public calamity. When do we have this 13 fast model? That, or I should say differently, when are we capped at 13 fasts? That's only for rainfall. So the concept is that for rainfall, at a certain point in time, you stop fasting. So you have 13 fast rainfall and no more. However, again, when it comes to other types of calamities, misanin vaholchin atchiyalu min hashamayim. Rabbi say you keep fasting and fasting until when? Until your situation improves. Until HaKadosh Baruch Hu answers your tefillos. So we'll say it's very interesting. Now, what the Gemara is suggesting is, as much as the rain model becomes the paradigm for how to address communal situations of need, whereas the rain model is capped at 13 fasts, other calamities or other situations, you continue to fast until the particular issue is addressed. Tanyin amihachu, we have a brisa that supports this. Kisha amru shalosh, kisha amru sheva, lo amru ela legishamim. When we spoke about a series of three fasts and then a series of seven fasts, that was only stated regarding rain. Aval shamine pranos, but when it comes to other types of misfortunes and difficulties, misanin vaholchin ad sheya anu. We fast, and we continue until the tefillos are answered. So this would seem to refute Rabbi Ami, because again, what did Rabbi Ami say before? Rabbi Ami said to Rabbi Yehuda Nesia, enough, we fasted 13 fasts, and there's no more fasting to be done. Amar lecha Rabbi Ami would say to you, Tanoihi. In reality, Rabbi Ami said to Machlokes Tanoim. Disanyo, Ein gozrin yosra mishloshes reitanios ala tzibor. We have a brisa that says that you may not declare more than 13 fast days on the tzibor. Why? Lefi, we'll say first wide line on your dalet amud beis. Lefi, shematrichen es tzibor yosim idai divrei Rebbe. Because we'll say Rebbe said that you cannot impose undue hardship on the tzibor. Meaning, of course, we need rain. It's not a shaila, we need rain. But at the end of the day, you can't do something that is just going to create an exceptional tircha, exceptional difficulty on the tzibor. No. Different opinion. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, "Lo mina shem huzeh." Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, "No, it's not true. They're actually two dissimilar things." So we'll say, listen to this. The difference over here is, remember, the reason why rain is capped is because, or the reason the fast days for rain are capped is because, remember, at a certain point in time, what? Rain is no longer beneficial. Right? Remember, again, we've seen this, and we'll see it before a little later on in the Gemara. Once Nisan comes, rain is no longer beneficial. If rain is no longer beneficial, you're obviously not going to keep davening for it. But for other communal needs, where, again, the need does not abate, you still need the particular thing, you'll keep on davening, keep on fasting, until ultimately your tefillos are answered.
You're talking about for rain?
I'm sorry?
You're talking about for rain?
No, for rain, everyone's agreeing that it's capped at 13. Because again, remember, that's what he's saying over here. Lo min Hashem huzeh. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is not even directly disagreeing with Rebbe. He's saying, lo min Hashem huzeh, you can't apply the rain model to other situations. Because the rain model, at a certain point in time, rain is no longer beneficial. Other things, again, if you still need it, you keep davening and fasting for it, even if it's a little bit of a tircha. So he's disagreeing. So essentially, the shayla is, does the rain model become the paradigmatic model for all public tzar? Or not? Rebbe seems to say the answer to that is yes, and for a different reason. He's going to agree that yes, at a certain point in time, rain is no longer beneficial, but there's the concept of Tircha de Tzibura. Tircha de Tzibura says any more than 13 public fast days, you just simply can't do. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel will say, I don't know what you're talking about. If the public needs it, the public needs it. The only reason rain is kept is because at a certain point in time, rain is no longer beneficial. Take a look at Rashi. Excuse me, let's go back to a little bit, actually. So, Rashi says, Kashin Manichin Bishil Torech Elishkvar Yotza Zmana Shoravia. So Reb Shimon Leo responds, the reason we stop praying for rain is not because it's too inconvenient for the tzibur to keep davening. That's not the reason we stop. The reason we stop praying for rain is because, again, at a certain point in time, it is simply no longer beneficial for us to have it rain. Sholchu le b'nei Nineveh, the Rebbe. So the people of Nineveh, so this was after they did Shuvah already, right? So Nineveh was spared. So the people of Nineveh sent a message to Rebbe. Kegon anan da'afilu b'tekufas tamo. So we'll say, so that kind of stops this discussion. That stops this discussion over here. And I'll tell you, interestingly enough, so the way the Rambam paskins is the Rambam paskins like Reb Shimon Gamliel, that halacha lemaisa, rain is capped at 13 fasts. That's the maximum fast we have for rain. And because, again, remember, at a certain point in time, we actually don't want it to rain because it'll become detrimental. However, the way the Rambam paskins is that for other public tzaros, for other public situations, you keep fasting and davening and fasting and davening until when? Until the particular issue is addressed. It is not capped at 13 fasts. We don't care about tircha de tzibura, because at the end of the day, it's a little counterintuitive to say that it's tircha de tzibura to go ahead and fast for something that the tzibur needs. Yes, fasting is always inconvenient. Fasting is never pleasant. But lamaisa, if you need it, you need it. Now the Gemara tells a story. Shalchu luhu, not a story, but an interesting maisa that helps to highlight the halacha. Shalchu le b'nei Nineveh, the Rebbe. So the people of Nineveh sent the following question to Rebbe. Kegon anon, what about us? Da'afilu b'tkufas tamuz bo'inon mitra. So we'll say, Nineveh, they said, you see, we have different climactic realities than Eretz Yisrael. We need rain even in Tammuz. Now we'll say, if it were to rain in Eretz Yisrael in Tammuz, it's a bad thing. You see, we live in Galus, obviously, and for us, the truth is, climactically, so the truth is, rain is always beneficial. I mean, too much rain is not good. But lamais, again, it's not like we have a season where rain is not good. For us, it doesn't work. And Eretz Yisrael, again, if it were to rain in Tammuz, that could actually, before it rain this time of year, right, this time of year, it's actually detrimental. It's actually detrimental. It's detrimental agriculturally. It might be good, you know, for the Kinneret, but it's detrimental agriculturally. So they sent from Nineveh, what about us? We in Nineveh, we need rain in Tammuz. So what's the halacha? Heichi navid, ki yechidim daminan o kirabim daminan. So how should we daven for rain? Should we daven for rain like individuals or like a collective? What does that mean? Kirabim o kirabim daminan, ki yechidim daminan o bishomei atfila. Should we daven for rain like individuals and therefore only insert it in shomei atfila? Well, so essentially what they're asking in Nineveh is they want to continue to say what? They want to continue to say the same Talu Matur Livracha already past Pesach. Past Pesach. So what should we do? Should we insert it in Shema Kolenu like individuals? Or Kirabim Daminu or Berkas Hashanim? Or since the whole country of Nineveh requires rain, perhaps Minog Nineveh should be what? That we say the same Talu Matur Livracha where? In Baruch Aleinu for as long as we need it. Shalach Luhu. So I will say again, this was Rebbe sent back, ki yechidim damisu b'shamei atfila. You should treat yourself like individuals, and you should insert v'sein talumat livracha in shamei atfila. So do not go ahead and insert it in Baruch Aleinu, but rather again in Shema Koleinu. So the Gemara says, and again, the logic behind that seems to be that the tefillos of Eretz Yisrael, the tefillos that we daven are really organized in accordance with the agricultural reality of Eretz Yisrael. So even though in Nineveh you need rain now, that's fine, you can ask for that. Ask that in Shema Koleinu, but the official petitional request for rain goes in accordance with Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara says, Mesa, the Gemara is Zekasha. Rabbi Huda says, "A Masai, when is this true? Bizman Shashanim." Now, we'll say Rashi points out of here, "A Masai who seder tanios." When do we have this organized type of fast days? Bizman Shashanim kitiknon v'Yisrael shurin alad masan. When Rabbi Huda says the years are in order. Now, what does it mean? The years are in order. Look at Rashi. Bizman Shashanim kitiknon shaya katsir benison uzvim mar cheshvan ve'ein seder Hashanim mishtana. We'll say the years in order means the agricultural cycle is in order. For example, we were harvesting in Nisan, planting in Mar Cheshvan. So when do we say that these fast days apply? First of all, the agricultural schedule has to be in order. And you need the majority of the Jewish people in Eretz Yisrael. But now, everything goes according to the agricultural cycle of the year. Everything goes according to the various places. And everything goes according to the particular times. Look at Rashi. How Rashi says, Hakolofi Ashanim, Imtsricha Oso Shana Lamatar, Kigon Shana Shechuna, Shetsricha Legisham Harbe. We look at the particular year, what's required for rainfall. Lefia Makomos, Kigon Ninve, Dafilubit Kufas Tamus Boy Mitra. We look at the particular place, like Ninve, that requires rain even during Tamus. So we'll say, what do you see from here? The point that this price is making is it would appear that when it comes to fast days, and by extension, perhaps even the request frame is Saint Talmud Livra. We don't make one. The only time we have one standard approach is when the agricultural season is in order and when the Jewish people are in Eretz Yisrael. But if the Jewish people are not in Eretz Yisrael or the agricultural season is not in order, if you're missing any one of those two, then l'maisa what? It would appear that everyone kind of does their own thing and does their own thing in terms of fasting for rain. And by extension, we would assume does their own thing for what? For what? For the request of rain, the same Talmud Livracha as well, which contradicts what Rebbe said to the people of Ninveh. Because the Rebbe said to the people of Ninveh is, look, whatever you need to do, you do, but you do it as individuals. You insert, you need rain in Tamuz, put in Shema Kolinu. At the end of the day, we look at what happens in Eretz Yisrael. This price seems to contradict that. Amarle, Masnisa Ramis Ali de Rebbe. So he said, are you bringing a Braisa to contradict Rebbe? Rebbe Tanahu. Rebbe is a Tana. Upalik, Rabbi Yossi, remember, a Tana could argue on a Braisa. You can't bring a Braisa to refute a Tana, because a Tana could just very easily argue on the Braisa. So my Haviyala, so what do we do with this? So again, the fundamental question the Gemara is asking me, which is really quite fascinating, is what happens if I live in a locale that requires rain on a different schedule than Eretz Yisrael? So how do I ask for that rain? So what is the answer? Rav Nachman Amar Bebirkas Hashanim. Rav Nachman said that you ask for it in this in Barich Aleinu. Rav Shesha says, B'Shamei Tfila. Rav Shesha says, no, you ask for it in Shamei Tfila. The hilchasa b'shamei tefillah. Rabbi say the halacha is that if you live somewhere outside of Eretz Yisrael that requires rain later than Eretz Yisrael, you can ask for that, but you ask for that in shamei tefillah. Rabbi say, I'll just share with you. Interestingly enough, the Shulchan Aruch. This is in Siman Kuf Yud Zayin Sif Beis. So in Kuf Yud Zayin Sif Beis, the Shulchan Aruch paskins yichidim hatzvichin lematar b'mosachamo. If you have individuals who require rain during the summer season, meaning they live in a place that requires rain during the summer season, ein sholin elso beberkas hashanim ela b'shamei atfila. They do not ask it in Baruch Aleinu. Rather, where do they ask it? In the place where all personal petitional requests go in shamei atfila. Va'afilu ir gedola kininve, even a large city like Ninveh. O Eretz Achas Kula, or for that matter, even an entire country, Kimo Sfarad Bichlala, O Ashkenaz Bichlala, Spain or Germany, Ki Yechidin Damu, are still reckoned as individuals, Bishamei Tefillah. Ultimately, again, is included in Shamei Tefillah. Miuim Be'eretz Achas Kula, Hatzich Amat Vimav Sechama. Okay, so we don't leave this. So both says, Haloch Lamaisa, this is how we pass out the Gemara ends off, that even if you live in a place where the whole country requires rain later, the entire country will still go ahead and what? Insert it in Shema Kolinu. Essentially, the standard is established by Eretz Yisrael, and anything else is considered like yechidim. So you'll have an obligation still to pray for rain if you need it, but you'll put it in your personal request in Shema Koleinu. So the Mara goes weiter. B'sheni matinim chashecha, u'b'chamishi kol ha'yomim ne'kavashah. So also remember again, the Mishnah said that in the last set of seven fast days, so one of the stringencies we have is that we close the food stores. However, what we do is on Mondays, we go ahead and we literally open the doors of the food stores slightly as it's getting dark. And Chamishi on Thursday, the store is open the entire day because of Kavod Shabbos. So the Gemara says, "Boilehu." The Gemara asks Akasha, "Heichi katoni." So how exactly are we to understand this statement in the Mishnah? Bebeis matin imchashecha. Do we understand that what the Mishnah is telling us is the following? On Monday, Rabbi say matin literally means to slant. What it means is that we don't open the doors of the store fully, but rather we only open them partially. So on Mondays, we open the doors of the store partially towards nightfall. Ubehei kol hayom mipnei kavod Shabbos. And on Thursday, we keep it open the entire day because of kavod Shabbos. Dilma b'sheni matin. But that, according to that version, even on Thursday, the doors to the store are only open partially. The difference is, however, they're open the entire day. Old Dilma, the other possibility is b'sheni matin. On Monday, we'll go ahead and we'll open the doors slightly to the food stores as it approaches evening. Ubechamishi poschin kolayam kulo. But on Thursday, what? On Thursday, because of Kavod Shabbos, what happens? The doors are open the whole way, the entire day. So that's the Shiloh. Which one is it? So Gemara says Tashma Desanya, Besheni Matin Ad Ha'erev. On Mondays, remember, we'll say they're fasting on a Monday. Monday, Thursday model. That's how these fast days. So Monday, Thursday, Monday, and then Monday, Thursday, Monday. Right? That's how the 13 work out. So the Gemara says the following. So we learned in a Raisa, B'sheni Matin Ad Ha'erev, on Monday, we go ahead and we open the doors slightly towards the evening. We'll say that allows people to buy food for after the fast. I'm sorry, B'sheni Matin Ad Ha'erev, U'b'chamishi Poschin Kolayom Kulo, Mipnei Kavod HaShabbos. And on Thursday, we open the doors the entire way. We leave the stores wide open the entire day because of Kavod HaShabbos. Ha'yilo Shnei Pesachim. If the store had two openings, Poseach Echa V'no Echa, you keep one of the entrances open and one of the entrances closed. Ha'yilo Itzdava, if there was a bench in front of the store opening, Kineged Pischo, Poseach Kidarko, you open up regularly, V'eni Choshesh, and you need not worry, because since the bench obscures a little bit of the opening, so it's considered to be like the opening is only open partially. So we'll say what comes out, Halacha L'maisa, is the way it works is on Mondays, they would open the store towards the evenings, but they wouldn't open the doors fully. They'd only open the doors partially. On Thursdays, because of Kavod Shabbos, people have to do their Shabbos shopping. Therefore, L'maisa, we kept the doors open the entire day. Avru elu v'lo na'anu, mematin b'masu matun u'minyan atiyah. Rabbi will say, again, if the last set of 7 days passed, and still there is no rainfall. So remember again, we already established, we are capped at 13 fasts. We are not fasting any more than 13 days. But what do you do? Although you won't continue to fast, you will decrease masumatum, business dealings, ubebinyan benetia, and building and planting. Tana, binyan shal simcha, netia shal simcha. What type of building, what type of planting do we diminish? We diminish building of simcha, joyous building, and joyous planting. What does this mean? Ezhu binyan shel simcha. What's an example of joyous building? Zehabona bayis chasnus libno. It refers to someone who builds a wedding home for his son. Also, remember what often used to happen, I think it's actually a great chap, is that what people do is instead of spending money on a wedding hall, which if you think about it again, is a huge waste of money. I mean, it's good to get married, it's good to have a wedding hall, but again, you know, you get nothing for that. What they used to do is they would take that money, they would build a house, and they would host the wedding in that house. First of all, it's a great way to keep your guest list small. Mm-hmm. And also, the beautiful part of it is, essentially what you do, if you imagine, instead of spending the money on the wedding hall, you spend the money on a down payment for a house. You host the wedding in the house, and then everyone goes home. And the beautiful part is what? The chazan and kala have a home. They have a home in which to live in. That's called the binyan shel simcha. So again, if after the 13 fast days elapsed, there was still no rain, lemaisa again, the Maisa, you would go ahead and you would diminish building of Simcha. The Gemara says, Nitiel Shel Simcha, what's an example of joyous planting? So the Gemara says, Ezu Nitiel Shel Simcha, Zehanotea Abvarniki Shel Malachim. This refers to someone who plants the Abvarniki of Malachim. So we'll say Rashi points out over here, this Abvarniki, Rashi actually points out a couple of things. Shekach hayu noagin kishnola ben ha-melech, hayu noten ilan l'shmo, v'yom shemamlichin osa osan l'kisei menor. It says a beautiful minog. Rashi says that when the son of a king was born, they would plant a tree in his honor, and on the day that son became king, they would go ahead and cut down that tree, and they would make for him a throne from that tree. Rashi gives other interpretations that it's also a type of tree that would go ahead and provide a lot of shade. The idea is it's a non-essential planting. So therefore, again, if it still did not rain, even after the 13 the 13 fast days, you would not go ahead, you would cease and desist from this type of building, from this type of planting. Ubisha'ila shalom, similarly again, if after the 13 fast days elapsed, there's still no rain, you would diminish the way and the joyous way in which you greet others. Tanarabonim, so the rabbis taught, Chaveirim, ein she'ilas shalom b'neihem. So the Braisa teaches that Rabbi say, so Chaveirim refers to Tamidi Chachamim. Tamidi Chachamim would not greet each other. They simply would not greet each other, meaning again, this is referring to after the 13 fast days, there's still no rain. So Tamidi Chachamim would take upon themselves not even to greet one another. Ami ha'aretz, so simple folk, shesholin machzirin lohen. However, again, if Tamidi Chachamim were greeted by simple folk, so let's say again, a simple person so greets a Tamid Chacham, a simple person doesn't necessarily know the halacha, the Tamid Chacham should return the greeting, meaning don't be rude. Because even though, again, Tamid Chacham might say, I'm not going to return the greeting because, again, we're in a little bit of a public mourning because there's no fast days, the Ami ha'aretz, a simple person, is not going to understand that the Tamid Chacham is not returning the greeting because of public mourning, but is going to think he's just being rude. Therefore, return the greeting to the Ama Aretz. Machzir lahem besafa rafa. You should return the greeting to them in a low tone. Ubekovid roshan, with a certain degree of solemn behavior. Vehein misatfin v'yoshim ka'aveilim. And again, the Tamdi Chachamim would sit and wrap themselves like mourners, ukiminudin, and like those who are excommunicated, kibnei adam hanazufin lemakom, like individuals who literally were chastised by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ad shirachmu alein min hashamayim, until ultimately HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have compassion upon them. So what the Gemara is saying over here is after the 13 fast days elapsed and there's still no rain, Tamidi Chachamim would literally engage in public mourning practices to show the general populace that this is a very serious situation, and clearly also shows that we have fallen out of favor with God. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Ein Adam Chashuv Rashai Lipo Apanav Ela Imke Nanak Yoshubner. We'll actually know it. We'll stop over here. We'll pick up Emir Tzashem with this Gemara tomorrow. We'll start with Amar Rabbi Elazar, Ein Adam Chashuv. Whoa. All right, stay tuned to your email today for the schedule for tomorrow. It's a long daf tomorrow, so figure it out.